Welcome to Federal Insights for September, modernizing government to deliver digital services, sponsored by Hughes Network Systems.
Hello and welcome to today's program. I'm Eric White. You've likely heard the term SD-WAN or Software-Defined Wide Area Network. However, if you don't fully understand it as a concept, you're not alone. Enter the SD-WAN Academy. It's an online platform that helps organizations interested in the relatively new technology learn more about its capabilities. To hear more about the Academy and SD-WAN itself, Federal News Network's Tom Temin spoke to its president, Craig Easley.
Let's begin with, first of all, the world needs an academy to talk about software-defined wide area networking?
Yes. So as with any new technology, SD-WAN is all the rage. There's a bunch of new vendors and a bunch of the traditional group of networking equipment manufacturers and suppliers are all sort of rushing into this new world of software-defined WAN, either making changes to their existing equipment or buying companies that have software-defined WAN solutions and growing their business inorganically. So as with any new technology, there's a lot of confusion about what it can do, what the benefits of implementing it are. There are a lot of confusions about different vendors' implementations because there aren't really, there are only a couple of emerging standards, so everybody's kind of doing their own thing. There's a lot of confusion, and the Academy was created to basically address that head on.
Got it. Is it backed by the industry? Do they contribute their knowledge to it?
Yes. So we're working with two industry forums, the Metro Ethernet Forum, who've been incidental in defining standards for Ethernet technology deployed in the wide area network or in the WAN, and the Open Network Users Group, or ONUG, which is an industry group of government agencies and large enterprises, as well as all of the telecom service providers and equipment vendors who are kind of bringing the requirements together. So MEF is working the technical aspects, and ONUG is sort of a forum for gathering requirements and talking to end users about their early experiences with SD-WAN.
And let's back up even further and maybe help people understand what an SD-WAN is, because the wide area network has always been a construction of wires and services interconnected for whatever, hundreds of miles, thousands of miles. And so when a network is software defined, you still need wires to get data from one point to the other. So what exactly is a software defined wide area network?
Okay. A software defined network is really just an implementation of intelligence at the edge where the subscriber connects to the wide area network. So the wide area network still exists like it ever did. In fact, there are a couple of different flavors of wide area network. Most enterprises have built their own virtual private networks, which are typically more secure service level agreement backed. So they have consistent performance delay and loss characteristics to them. And then you have your broadband services or an internet connection, if you will, that has less of those kind of guaranteed features and security. So what SD-WAN does is it looks at the application that wants to use, connectivity services, and it decides whether to use the private connectivity service, the VPN, or whether I can use a lower cost internet connection to provide the connectivity. So it's really the software defined part of it looks at the application flow, and based upon policies and in the inventory of connectivity services that you have, it makes the appropriate choice to steer the traffic over the private VPN connection or the public internet connection.
So those services then occur, the decisions on those services occur at almost the user device.
Correct. Yeah. They've called that the SD-WAN edge or SD-WAN gateway, which will be a device that has a connection to the enterprise network, to the government's network, if you will. And then it has two or more connections out the back, one on a private VPN connectivity service and one on a public internet-based connectivity service.
And what if the application, and I guess the sensitivity of the application and the user have to do with what the security requirements are, whether it goes over the VPN or not, what if the application is, say, in a cloud, but the end user device is wherever it is in somebody's basement office or branch office or Starbucks or something? How does that architecture work?
It works the same way. You can have a secure connection over or an encrypted connection over an internet, you know, just like we do when we do our online banking and things of that nature. You know, it's the enterprises will typically have a VPN connection and an internet connection. So it works kind of the same way. You can still do all of the security things, authentication, encryption, et cetera, on a broadband internet connection that you could on the VPN. And in fact, that's one of the reasons that this SD-WAN technology has kind of captured everybody's imagination. Over the past several years, or let's say past decade, really, as applications have moved more into the cloud, a lot of the common applications that we use have been rewritten and re-architected for that model. So when you move some of these applications that that customers are using onto an internet connection, there's no degradation in performance. The end user experience is exactly the same. So that's a big benefit. So the SD-WAN guys come in and they say, oh, let's take your Microsoft 365 or SharePoint or some of these commonly used applications and move them onto the internet. So you don't have to pay as much money for the as you would for the VPN connection. And it works great. At least initially, it works great.
Sure. And well, what happens after the initial?
Well, then if some is good, more is better. So let's take some of our applications, our other applications, and move them, those to the internet as well. And a lot of those applications are sort of homegrown or they're more legacy, and they haven't been rewritten. They're not commodity applications, and so they haven't been re-architected for cloud. And so those applications don't perform the same as the ones that had been. There's also a lot of people that don't understand really what the latency and loss requirements are. So there are some applications that are more sensitive to latency and loss than others. And if you move those applications onto just a broadband interconnection with no performance guarantees, you know, then it doesn't work the way that they expected it.
Sure. Like the video conversation we're having is super sensitive to latency, but maybe an appointment application at VA, if you have a split second of latency, it doesn't matter.
That's right. To use this application as an example, this is RingCentral and Zoom and Teams and all those are exactly examples of applications that have been re-architected to run over broadband. So the application developers have used more, put their intellectual property is really in all the buffering and the replay to kind of hide some of the glitches that are still present, but you and I can't see them because the application developers worked around those for us.
Right. So that could be related to how the data is deployed. Sometimes mm-hmm. they put data at the edge to kind of make up for latency if the data is known to the application to be needed at some point in the next few seconds.
Right. That's exactly right.
Craig Easley is president of the SD-WAN Academy, speaking there with Federal News Network's Tom Temin. We'll have more from our interview after a quick break. I'm Eric White.
2020 has been a year of challenges, and yet government agencies are being called upon to deliver even more. More services, more applications, and more devices. The fastest way to meet this demand? By transforming your legacy infrastructure into a next-generation digital network. Learn more with Hughes' complimentary white paper, The Government Agency's Guide to Network Transformation. Visit our website at government.hughes.com/WTOP to download your copy and see how Hughes can help transform your network to deliver more.
We continue our interview with Craig Easley, president of the SD-WAN Academy, speaking with Federal News Network's Tom Temin.
And therefore, the intelligence of the SD-WAN can be deployed anywhere between the device and the cloud then, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or in the data center.
It can. All of those models are offered by the various different SD-WAN solution providers. They have solutions where they'll just put a white box on the customer's premise and install some software in it that they can keep updating and changing. They'll put a simple CPE device, customer premise equipment device, there that will connect to the brains in the cloud and do all of the traffic, you know, the traffic steering and assignment of the different services once the traffic gets actually into the cloud.
Because sometimes SD-WAN gets tied up or in people's minds with virtual machines that you can deploy mm-hmm. here and there. So does having software-defined WAN allow you to scale your capacity requirements and your bandwidth up and down depending on the need and similar to what clouds do?
It does. One of the biggest advantages of a software defined network in general is that you basically take an appliance like a switch or a router and you deconstruct it into all of its component parts. So you've got a switching and routing part, a firewall part, a load balancing part, an intrusion detection part, and all of these different components of the appliance are now just individual pieces of software code that can run, you know, anywhere. You can run them in a virtual environment. You can add resources to them, apply more cores or more memory or more or a higher capacity network connection between them. So the premise of software-defined networking, on which SD-WAN is really, you know, founded, is this whole concept of taking the functionality of a networking appliance and playing it in software, so then you have more control over scaling it up or scaling it down, the individual components, rather than, oh, my router's full, or the CPU of my router's pegged at 100%. I got to go buy another router. The software defined gives you that modularity and elasticity to turn up and down individual parts of that.
So that means that you can run, I guess, high bandwidth applications to even remote offices. Mm-hmm. And it's an alternative to buying, say, another T1 line or another type of adding service that can get to be expensive.
It is. Because what you would buy there is just another broadband connection rather than the T1 that would typically be used as a mechanism to deploy your virtual private network or VPN on.
Got it. And a lot of agencies wonder about the TIC 3.0 architecture, and they are interested in what they call not hairpinning all their traffic through a trusted internet connection appliance that's in their data center or in their agency, but rather mm-hmm. somewhere in the cloud. Mm-hmm. How does SD-WAN technology play with it's just emerging really now, the TIC 3.0 architecture?
Yeah, so the TIC 3.0 architecture allows traffic that's just going out to the internet to go straight out to the internet. So instead of traffic being hairpinned or going from a remote branch office from a VA center or a hospital back to the VA's data center, and then through some common firewall, traffic that needs to get straight out onto the internet can go via local internet breakout and go straight to the cloud from the remote branch office. There's also a sister technology that's being deployed with SD-WAN. The acronym is SASE. Everybody's pronouncing it SASE. It stands for Secure Access Service Edge. So when you deploy SASE along with your SD-WAN solution, again, depending on the application and the policies and that you've defined, you will apply the appropriate amount of security. Do I need a dual challenge authentication before I'm going to allocate bandwidth to this application? Does the application traffic need to be encrypted once I grant it access, and so on? So SASE is kind of the 2.0 part of SD-WAN, if you will.
Got it. So that service could be driven, for example, by whether someone's using a PIV card mm-hmm. or CAC to access versus whether they're just logging on, typing on a keyboard.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So if an agency is interested in SD-WAN technology because of some of these, before we ask that, what are the chief benefits, just to summarize, of SD-WAN?
The main benefits of deploying an SD-WAN solution are, first of all, that you can take advantage of lower cost broadband internet connections to power a lot of the applications that are clogging up the VPN pipes today. So rather than going out and upgrading the more expensive pipes by offloading the applications that don't need those expensive pipes and can function just normally using an internet connection, agencies and enterprises can be in a better position to make the most out of their WAN spend. The second is that you have resiliency almost built into it because you have at least two connectivity services, a private VPN-based one and a public one. If one of them goes down, you can use the other one to kind of back it up, if you will. And you're not limited to just two. I could have a VPN. I could have multiple VPN connections, and I could have multiple internet connections, and then create those. And you could also get service provider resiliency. So I might buy some of my services from the cable company and some from the telephone company. And then if one of them's having a bad day, then I can migrate my applications over to the other. So there's increases not only in benefits from a reduction of cost perspective, but also from a reduction, from an increase in reliability perspective.
And how do you go about obtaining SD-WAN? Is it something that you can buy out of a box and kind of set up, or does it take a lot of programming? And if it does, what are the balance between what's best for the agency to do and what's best to have industry do?
Mm-hmm. So initially, all of the SD-WAN companies were going straight to the enterprise market and saying, hey, you can pay for our solution by reducing your telecommunications spend with your favorite phone company. And the companies, bought into that vision and then ran smack into the pit of disillusionment, where it didn't work exactly the way that they thought it was going to work, or that they believed it was going to. So in the second incarnation, the agencies and enterprise customers are going to their service providers and saying, hey, we've heard about this SD-WAN. We really want to try and use it, but we want to buy it from you. You're our networking experts. We want you to sell us an SD-WAN managed offering, where we'll buy it from you. You set it up for us, and you manage it. So that's sort of all of the big telecommunication providers, the Verizons, AT&Ts, and CenturyLinks all have managed SD-WAN services now, with multiple different products in their portfolio that they're using to build and deliver these services.
That's Craig Easley, president of the SD-WAN Academy. He spoke to Federal News Network's Tom Temin. Hear the final part of our interview with him after one more quick break. I'm Eric White.
2020 has been a year of challenges, and yet government agencies are being called upon to deliver even more. More services, more applications, and more devices. The fastest way to meet this demand? By transforming your legacy infrastructure into a next-generation digital network. Learn more with Hughes' complimentary white paper, The Government Agency's Guide to Network Transformation. Visit our website at government.hughes.com/WTOP to download your copy and see how Hughes can help transform your network to deliver more.
You're listening to our interview with Craig Easley, president of the SD-WAN Academy, speaking with Federal News Network's Tom Temin.
Would you say that looking across the landscape, is industry way ahead of the government in the deployment of SD-WAN technology? Is the government catching up?
I don't think that the industry is way ahead, but there are more industries that are sort of early adopters or innovators, and so they're more likely to take a new technology and play with it and test it and try and use it than some of the agencies that are more risk averse and are sort of the late majority or even the laggards. It's just typical of how the agencies usually work. So I don't think that private industry is way ahead of the government, because it's very much still in the early market adoption stages. And we've already taught some classes for federal agencies who are looking at SD-WAN as a way of providing more capacity to their sites, without spending the traditional large amount of money on the VPN connections that they've been used to in the past.
And is there a cybersecurity benefit or cost to SD-WAN technology? Because that's the first question anyone is asking from the federal government, especially as they try to bring their network operation centers and their security operation centers together.
Right. And that's where that SASE that I introduced just a minute ago will come in, wrapping the appropriate cybersecurity around the application, so that even if an application is taking a less secure path through the cloud using an internet connection, The data itself is encrypted. The session is managed end to end, so that both ends have authenticated using public and private key exchange and things of that nature.
It sounds like the SD-WAN can help turn the network itself into kind of a sensor, telling you what's going on with traffic patterns, with bottlenecks, and with cybersecurity potential incidents.
Absolutely. And that's another one of the benefits of software-defined networks in general that SD-WAN is used, is the fact that you've got this centralized controller that's programming all of the SD-WAN edges. So this controller is the brain, and not only is it setting up the rules for which application to send over which connectivity service or which link, but it's also monitoring real time, 10 times a second, basically latency and loss and the load on the pipe. And a lot of one of the big selling points of the SD-WAN solutions was this really neat dashboard that enterprises and agencies could see that showed the performance of all their links and the congestion load on the different links, which they'd never seen anything like that before. So that, you know, there was a really sexy, GUI dashboard that provided you with all the analytics about which applications were using which links and what the how the links were behaving at any given time. And SD-WAN can make changes to that. If there's too much traffic on the VPN, then the performance is starting to degrade, then the SD-WAN can use that information and start redirecting or offloading traffic from the VPN onto the internet connection. So it's a dynamically programmable capability.
And it sounds like one could call this software-defined routing, but networking sounds like more. Is it the same thing effectively?
It's really the same thing. Yeah. Routing is, using the internet protocol to figure out how to get from one IP address to another. And that's just overlaid on top of the network connections.
Got it. And just a final question about the SD-WAN Academy itself. When you have a class for the government, who attends?
Network architecture folks, network engineers, people that are designing the next generation connectivity services for their agency are typically in there. So the reason that our academy was formed, and the reason that it's grown quite popular, is because unlike a lot of the SD-WAN training, we're vendor neutral. So you can go to your telecommunication service provider or to any of these SD-WAN companies or equipment network companies that we mentioned earlier and get SD-WAN training from them. But what you'll get is very much slanted towards their particular implementation, their particular product. The SD-WAN Academy provides a vendor neutral look at the underlying technologies and looks, critically, but in an objective way about the pluses and minuses of the different vendor implementations. So our students, when they come out of the academy, we have a certification called Certified SD-WAN Expert that we offer. They can ask the right questions to their providers and understand what the answers are and kind of catch any overselling or overhyping of the technology, so they can make more informed decisions.
You've been listening to our interview with Craig Easley, president of the SD-WAN Academy. He spoke to Federal News Network's Tom Temin. If you missed any part of this episode, you can find it online at federalnewsnetwork.com and search Federal Insights. I'm Eric White.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for September, sponsored by Hughes Network Systems on Federal News Network.
When we need help, we turn to government. When government needs help, they turn to Federal News Network. Federal News Network, helping feds meet their mission.